In fact, I think if I would go back to that church today, I could probably just know exactly what was going to happen when, just like it was when I left, and just very rote and repetitious. And I can't tell you that I was close to God back then. I wasn't close to God back then. I always believed that there was a God, but it was not until later that I really discovered what we talk about for church, and that is, you know, the relationship with God, the true personal connection with God. And that's, you know, what really makes the difference in the lives of people. And that's why that we can see Christians of all walks and flavors, and we can also see Christians at different places in their lives. Some, quite frankly, that really have never truly encountered God, experienced Him. Yet, you know, they go by the title because they go through the motions of Christianity. But I really believe that God is calling us into a time when our faith has to be authentic, has to be genuine. And the only way that can happen is if we truly have an experience of God. And as you've noticed, for those of you that have been coming here for any length of time, and I'm looking at a small crowd, so I know all of you, so you know that worship is a very big part of that which we call church, or we call our gathering, or our fellowship, or our time together. Worship is a very important part of it, and I want to talk a little bit about why today. There is a Christian organization that for many, many years surveys America and talks to Americans. They do a very very statistical sampling, accurate sampling of the American populace. George Barna is this guy's name. And the question that jumped out at me when I was reading some of his information was the question that was asked of Christians. And the question was, have you ever experienced God in a worship service? Have you ever experienced God in a worship service? And it's really interesting, only one-third of the total population of Christians that was surveyed said yes. One-third, yeah. There's another new book out I love to read, and this book is called Exit Interviews. Where's Tyler at? Exit Interviews. We were talking about this Friday night. William Hendricks is the author, and the book that he wrote is about why younger people today, that is people in their 20s and 30s, especially that group, are just abandoning church, even those that maybe have grown up in the church, that are leaving the church, who have left the church. And I listened to what he said. He said, this is a quote in his summary. He said, perhaps the most common complaint was that worship services were boring. It was not just that these gatherings were not interesting, they were not worshipful. They did little to help people meet God. And boy, that really jumped out at me. Because, you know, worship is meeting with God. That really is a great definition, isn't it? Worship is meeting with God. Worship occurs when people encounter God, the God who loves them and desires relationship with them. There was another guy, Robert Weber, in his book, Worship Old and New, you know, because worship transcends form, meaning that you don't have to have any specific form of worship to be able to experience God, because worship is an encounter with God. He said worship is a meeting between God and His people. It said this, worship doesn't just lead to an encounter with God. It is an encounter with God. I like that. When we worship God, we meet with Him. And we need to know that God wants to meet with us. We talk about meeting with God. Let me dig into that just a little bit. This is like a small group, and I love small groups. So this is just kind of like my bailiwick. So if I move around and come over to you and shake your hand during a sermon, you won't get all flustered, will you? Okay, good. So one of the things that we have to understand when we're talking about experiencing God, meeting with God, is understanding the difference between God's omnipresence and God's manifest presence. And let me explain those two. Very critical to help understand the concept of meeting with God in worship. We know, I think all of us know, that God is everywhere. Like Psalm 139, where can I go, you know? And you're not there. You're always there, no matter where I go. That's His omnipresence, right? His presence everywhere. Now, there is another type of presence that the Bible speaks about. You know, Jesus said, you know, I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age. But He also said this, when two or more are gathered in my midst, there I am in the midst of them. Now, He wasn't contradicting Himself. You know, the fact is He's always with us. But there is a special presence of God that comes in corporate worship, that comes whenever we are worshiping God. And some people call it the manifest presence of God, meaning that His presence is manifest in a special way. So you need to understand that we're not crazy when we're talking about meeting with God in a special way. It is that manifest presence that we're seeking, that experience of God, that meeting of God, when truly we do connect. And that really is what worship is, connecting with God in that revealed presence. Connecting with God never was possible without a certain type of worship in the Old Covenant, you know? But when Jesus came, it's an awesome thing to understand that when God did this very special thing on the day that Jesus was crucified, at the moment He said, "It is finished," whenever He took the thick curtain, it was 70 feet high and 4 inches thick. Can you imagine just a curtain, you know, when he took the big thick curtain in the Jewish temple that separated that outer holy place from the Holy of Holies, where that Ark of the Covenant was, where God's presence would come and manifest. When Jesus died, it says that God literally reached His hand down from heaven, and from the top of that 75-foot curtain to the bottom, He ripped it open. And the Scriptures teach us that He did that to show that the way into God's presence is now open through the blood of Jesus Christ. That literally, Jesus makes it possible for us to experience the very presence of God and not just know that He is everywhere, but to actually have an encounter with Him that is special. Again, that's God's revealed presence. So our primary goal on Sunday mornings when we get together in this service is indeed to meet with God, to hear from Him, to speak to Him, to worship Him, and to listen to this word, to savor Him. So Kim and I went to breakfast yesterday morning. I kind of like it when we go out for breakfast. So we drove over to one of our favorite breakfast restaurants in the Cove and had a wonderful breakfast. Now hers, what was it, the farmer's wife's breakfast or something like that, I forget what it was. Hers, you know, had both sweet and savory. Did you ever hear those two words talked about with food, right? Sweet and savory. Yeah. For breakfast, I got to tell you, I'm a savory kind of guy. You know, now, after dinner, I like the sweet. But for breakfast, I'm not a sweet person, and I'm not a sweet eater. So not only did Kim have a sweet pancake with blueberries on it, but then they gave her this giant donut at the end of the breakfast. And yeah, it was too much. So she actually had it this morning for breakfast, at least half of it. Big. Anyway, sweet and savory. Savor is a word that we want to understand, because when we are in deep worship, connecting with God, what we're doing is we're savoring the presence of God. Savoring. Can you grab that? Savoring the presence of God. And, you know, I'm cautious to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of a learned experience, and here's what I mean by that. Most of us, like I said, grew up in churches that experiencing God's presence was not a conscious priority. You know, that sustained God focus on meeting with God, experiencing Him, hearing from Him, being touched by Him. Most of us, not just me, I know, were not raised in churches where that was necessarily a priority. So we never learned to seek out and experience the presence of God in worship. That's just true. It's why that kind of sustained communion with God in corporate worship is a foreign experience to many people. It was to me at first. It was to me at first whenever I began attending a church in Johnstown where being in the presence of God was a key focus. Seeking that presence, wanting it, desiring it, focusing our attention on God, literally, focusing on Him. You know, I mean, come on, we come to church and, you know, we often have divided focuses, you know. And especially if we're not used to having that experience, we're not even expecting it sometimes. We're not even, you know, coming so excited to figure that we can actually meet, you know, with God. You know, if I would have asked you, you know, tell me one person in all the world that you would love to meet with, you know. Maybe it's a famous football player or baseball player or actor or million, whoever it is. Who would you want to meet? And then you told me that person, and I would tell you, I am going to arrange a meeting with them tomorrow morning, right? I bet you dollars to donuts, if you really did admire this person, really was excited, you'd probably not even sleep the night before because you were just so excited, expecting to meet with that person. But you and I know that if we would bring that same kind of expectation into church, you know, man, you know, just to come expecting to meet with the God of the universe because He wants to meet with us. And we do that again through that attitude of our heart that is called worship. You see, the thing is, for worship to be authentic, it has to come from our heart. You know, it's that heart that savors God. In other words, really loves God, that really does enjoy God's fellowship, that really looks forward to connecting with God. Unless there's that heartfelt attachment that comes from a relationship with God, that gladness, you know, that is in our heart when we get to meet with Him, quite frankly, our worship becomes canned or, at worst, phony. And I'm just telling you like it is. You know, I'm actually trying to help us all to understand what God wants and how to really meet, connect, and experience God in worship. That's what we exist for as a church. to really seek out His presence and be able to hear from Him and really be touched by Him. Because I tell you, authentic worship, when you're in the presence of God, it can really transform you. It can really transform you. I want to tell you a story from the scriptures that really speaks to this, about the kind of thing that can happen whenever God shows up. I got way too many notes today. I apologize. I got too excited about this. You know, when Jesus was walking upon the earth, Jesus was actually God in the flesh. We know that. But there was a certain time in Jesus' ministry when the scriptures say that Jesus sensed the power to heal. I was just looking for the actual reference. I've lost it in the midst of 23 pages of notes today. But in that passage of scripture, you know, you think about what it just said. Jesus sensed the power of God present to heal. Now, I submit to you that what he was sensing is that manifest presence of God that came at that moment, and he knew that God wanted to do something. And God did. You know, the healing power was present at that moment. And I say that because when we are in the very presence of God, that manifest presence, incredible things can happen. Incredible things can happen when we are in the presence of God. I remember Jack Hayford years ago when we were kind of following one of his ministries called Cleansing Streams. And we actually had seminars here at this church, really just to try to get people free from the junk that we all have in our trunk. You know what I mean? And Cleansing Stream was a wonderful program that really just taught from the scriptures God's desire to not only heal us physically, but to also heal us emotionally in our hearts, because of the knowledge that we all carry along hurts in our hearts, scars in our hearts, experiences of our past, junk in our trunk, as Joanne talks about in our Bible study. And Cleansing Streams was a way that through God's Word and the ministry of the Spirit of God, that people were set free from a bunch of things, including addictions. And Jack said this in one of his teachings, I'll never forget it. He said that in his many years of experience of ministry, most deliverance happens during worship. During worship. And when you beg the question, why? It's because when God's manifest presence shows up, that's God. And in God's presence, there's power. In God's presence, there's healing. In God's presence, there's deliverance. In God's presence, there is freedom. It's no wonder that David, you know, in the 42nd Psalm, you know, he was at a place in his life where he was separated from the place back then that he loved to go to meet with God. He was separated from the tabernacle. And he wrote this psalm, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? He cries out. Well, you know, we indeed become the tabernacle of God in the new covenant, that through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the miracle that occurs is the God of the universe and the presence of the Holy Spirit can come and be with us and literally be in us. And that experience is transforming. That experience indeed is freedom. You know, I'm old enough to remember way back in 1984 when the song As the Deer first came out. 1984. You remember it? As the deer panteth for the water. It was right from this passage of Scripture, Psalm 42. And I found out that the guy that wrote that, Marty Nystrom, he wrote it because he was a Christian for a while, but it wasn't until he started into Christ for the Nations, which is a university, a college that's very focused on mission work of various kinds. Glenn Cogan, you remember Glenn? Actually went to Christ for the Nations. So that we haven't seen Glenn for quite a while. We miss him and his wife and kids who are out and about now, grown. But it was because Marty Nystrom experienced worship in this new way. You know, even though he was a Christian before and he was in a traditional church, at Christ for the Nations, because of their focus on worship, he encountered God, and as a result of it, wrote that song. You know, that was out of his experience. And it's an awesome thing to just illustrate that there is more of God than maybe you have experienced before. And so as I just wrap up this morning, I want to talk about that, the ways that we can truly prepare our hearts to experience God. To meet with him in worship. And that's really what it's about, preparing our hearts for that kind of an encounter. You know, God is always after our hearts. He would say, Jesus would say, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But when the opposite occurs, when your heart is connecting with the heart of God, true worship occurs, the experience of God. So what we need to think about is that preparation that is a movement of our heart from wherever it is, you know, to nearer, 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 nearer to God, nearer to God. Now that movement of our heart is not measured in inches or miles. That movement is measured with the tape of our attention. It's measured with the tape of our desire, right? How great is our desire? It's measured by the tape of our trust and hope, what we've learned to trust and hope in God. And lastly, it's really measured by the tape of our delight or joy in our God. With joy, right? David talked about how I, with joy, long to come into the presence of the assembly. But here's the key. When you come to church, and this is in part just a function of how church has become now, but it's become so easy to come to church and simply be the spectator. You know the difference, because like when you go to a sporting event, and you're sitting in the bleachers or the stands or the seats, you're watching the players play the game on the field or whatever the field is. That's spectating. But I got to tell you, Christianity was never meant to be a spectator sport. I mean, church was never meant to be that way. It really is designed to be a dynamic where people are coming, expecting to meet with God, and that literally they are engaged in that process. Engaged in the same way the players on a baseball field were be engaged. They're not the spectators, they're the participants. That's what we want to be when we come to church, not spectators. And I know that's easy to fall into, because it seems like, you know, the action is up on the platform or here at the pulpit, but we need to think about even ways to structure our service so that there is more participation, there is more interaction. I mean, we don't have to do church always the same way. I mean, just this little way of mixing it up today, of doing a little worship, having a message, and then coming back to end with worship, nothing wrong with that, church. Even though it's different, You know, we threw out the bulletins where the order of service was printed quite a while ago. And why did we do that? We did it because we don't want to box in the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to be just in tune with, and whatever God wants, that's what we want. When we come, we want to actually be worshipers in spirit and truth. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, the time is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, if worship to you is standing still and being just really in God's presence, that's worship to you. If worship to you is raising your hands, you know, to feel like you're connecting or praising or, you know, giving him adoration, that's worship to you. If it's picking up banners and or flags or just dancing, dancing is a biblical act, guys. I mean, you read your scriptures that David danced for joy in the presence of God. And quite frankly, you know, for some people, engaging their body in worship helps them worship. There's nothing wrong with that either. We need to be able to drop off, you know, the stereotypes. And even, you know, with the form of worship, you know, we're trying the best we can as leaders, and we're not perfect, but we're trying the best we can is to try to set the stage for the experience of God. But you'll see things, you know, every once in a while change, and different types of worship styles, and, you know, just to try to be able to provide that environment where people can enter into the presence of God. But it really is mostly about you and I wanting that, isn't it? And that's why our opening song today was so appropriate. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you've never experienced God in worship, it's okay. There's always a first. But I really believe that it's there in that experience of God that your life will be touched and changed. Amen? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and then just allow us to take these words, you know, and just to think about them. And as we prepare again to turn our focus on meeting with God, to allow God's Spirit, which is present with each one of us, to stir us and touch us, and take our heart right where it's at and connect it with the heart of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come and we ask you, Lord, to meet us right where we're at, because we certainly want to meet with you. Lord, we do want to experience you, your presence, Lord, in a way that we know that you're here, in a way that we know you're present. We want to be able to, in our mind's eye, Lord, just picture you with us and allow your Spirit to make that manifest in our lives, that your manifest presence would come. Lord, you're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of it. Our lives, you created us for worship, Lord. But you are a God that always provides choice. But I know, oh God, it pleases you so much when we want to meet with you. And so we come here now, and we just want to have our ending of the service, Lord, be an expression of that adoration, that love that we have for you. Lord, we want to savor your presence. So would you come? Would you come and meet with us again? Would you just touch every heart and every life here that now is turning to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.